you know what? I'm not even going to tell you what I'm going to play because I'm going to talk about that on the show. So,
you suspense. Should stop because we're going to talk about it on the show.
I think we should start the show now. Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my entertaining co-host, Ryan.
Yep. The one that does not interrupt.
The one who always interrupts.
I know.
So we have a very special episode for you guys this week. We're recording early, and we're going to do a themed episode, and we're going to talk about the Mario franchise and our memories growing up with it. I'm pretty excited.
I am too.
How about you, Ryan?
I'm super excited. That's how excited I am. I delayed excitement.
We should probably mention that we're recording in the morning as opposed to the evening when we normally record. Not a morning person at all.
It's 1 p.m.
I woke up an hour ago, dude. It's morning.
You shouldn't stay up so late.
It's not my fault. It's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers' fault. And Mario.
Oh.
I got sucked into playing Mario, and then I was up until, I think I played Mario till 1 o'clock in the morning. And then I was like, well, I don't really want to go to bed right away. Because normally after I play video games, I'm pretty pumped, and so I can't fall asleep anyway. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stay up a little longer. I'm going to find myself, some little half-hour show I can watch. So I'm going through Netflix, and all of a sudden I see Mighty Freaking Morphin Power Rangers on Netflix. I'm like, I just watched X-Men, the cartoon from the early 90s, earlier on in the evening, and I was like, this is amazing. I'm reliving my childhood right now. So I started watching Power Rangers, and when you watch on the Xbox, it's just like, would you like to watch the next episode when the current episode finishes? And I'm like, yeah, I would. I think I watched 10 episodes. I didn't go to bed till 4 in the morning.
You know,
the only reason that I knew that I should go to bed because my phone started going off with people from Europe waking up and tweeting me. And I was like, oh god, this normally happens when I've been asleep for hours.
Epidemic. Yeah. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers causing loss of sleep around
the country.
I'm telling
you, man, don't start. Don't pick it up because it's amazing. It's like this awesome Japanese stuff with this crazy, kitschy 1980s/early 90s teenager drama. It's awesome.
I remember watching that before I would catch the bus for school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was on first thing in the morning. Yeah. Mm. It was amazing. And then we'd talk about it on the bus riding to school.
Yep.
Yep.
Care Bears was on right after.
Yep.
That's when you know you had to go get ready to get on the bus. Oh,
Care Bears came on.
Global TV. That's what I watched on.
Me too.
Oh, Ontario.
Yep. And, you know, I was watching it, and I remember being a kid thinking that, Billy, the Blue Ranger, was so lame. And I'm like, who likes this guy? And now that I'm watching and I understand the words coming out of his mouth, because he's, the super big, nerdy, geeky guy. And now that I actually understand what he's saying, I'm like, oh my god, that guy's
alrighty.
Oh god. You're going to have to bleep me.
See, there's no way of telling. Jocelyn just said a bad word. All right, well, at least it's close to the start. Let's try to control.
Sorry.
Well, one wouldn't hurt. Do we have kids that listen to the show?
I don't know.
Probably not.
See, I'm telling you, I'm not a morning person.
All right. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I get to use one now.
There was a at the beginning, so.
Oh, Power man. Rangers, that's interesting. They didn't swear on Power Rangers. Obviously, you're getting that from somewhere else, Jocelyn.
Oh, I know. Oh, so, shall we? It's definitely not from Mario, because Mario doesn't swear either. I don't know where I'm getting it from.
I don't know. Maybe it's from Alice, because I played that, and there was at least one swear word.
Really?
The bad one.
The F word. Really?
Yeah, well...
I must not have gotten to it yet.
Well, I was playing on the treadmill, and I couldn't really hear what was going on. So afterwards, I was playing just normally with the speakers, and I think it was this like weird rabbit thing with, I don't know, but he definitely said a bad word. And it was totally anticlimactic because, like, you get in there and the cutscene starts and the two guys you've been chasing, like, come up with this big robot. And they're like, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to fight this robot. Then all of a sudden it just falls apart. And I'm like, well, that's kind of lame. But the characters in that game, I think that's the best part about it is just the environment and the design of everything. Because, like, everything's so crazy and weird. It's hard to explain, but I think it's...
I love that game. I mentioned before on the show that I'm playing on Nightmare difficulty, right?
So oh, yeah.
I think I'm halfway through, like, the first chapter. Like, I just got through the part with all the guys that fight you with the knives and forks and spoons and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a part where, like, there's, like, a teapot that's throwing, like, molten tea at you.
Yep.
And you have to jump from platform to platform. Well, I got through that. And then the next thing I got to, I think you're like inside the Mad Hatter's something. I remember I just like, I went inside somewhere and then kept dying.
Oh, no.
So that's like, that's right where I am. That's where I stopped playing. Just because I picked up something. No, I moved. I moved and then I went to Europe. So that's why I stopped playing. So it wasn't a bad game. I need to get back to it, which is probably I'm going to get back to it sometime now before Mass Effect 3 comes out. But
I like it.
So how much further are you than that?
Oh, I got pretty far. I've been, like I said, I finished Saints Row, so I moved on to Alice, and I think I'm like 4 hours in now, and I just got into Act 2.
Mm. Yeah, see, I mean, I've played for like 15 or 20 hours, and I'm only, like, halfway through Act 1.
Oh.
It's so, well, if you get hit twice, like, you get hit once, and it takes away almost all your health, and you get hit again, and you die.
Hmm. I really like the game, because, well, I'm not playing on Nightmare, because I got it on Steam, so there's no achievements, because it's an EA game. I'm just playing on normal. I quite like it. I think it might have to transition... I might just have to play it when I'm not on the treadmill because I'm still having this issue where, and I figured it out, it's my speakers. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but the bass on my speakers, even though I turn the subwoofer all the way down, there's still this boom, boom happening that the upstairs lady can hear.
Mm.
So I had put it on Twitter, and I Am French Boy had suggested to go out and pick up some really cheap just Logitech speakers, and that's what I was thinking of doing. And they're like, just $30 speakers, like just the left and the right, and I'll probably use them when I'm running, and I'll just jack it up, because she says she can't hear sounds. All she hears is the boom, like the subwoofer. So gonna give that a shot, and then hopefully I'll be able to play it and enjoy it, you know. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up what's new with us in the last couple of days, because we just recorded like 3 days ago for episode 5. So shall we move on into the awesome that is Mario?
Well, I had one more thing just quickly.
Yeah. One more thing.
No. I was playing yesterday. I threw on Mass Effect 2 again because I have two of the DLC packs already downloaded and purchased.
I thought we weren't talking about Mass Effect, dude.
Just want to quickly mention that how hard it is. I'm not going to talk about what I did or, you know, because we are going to have a Mass Effect podcast sometime near the end of February, but just so hard to get into a game that you haven't played in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
well, I found what I did with Mass Effect 2 is I started playing it kind of like maybe this time last year, and I played through, like, all the tutorial stuff right at the beginning where it teaches you how to do stuff, and then... I can't even remember why, but I moved on to another game. It might have been L.A. Noire or Portal or something. Anyways, doesn't matter. I moved on from Mass Effect, and then when I finished the other games I was playing, I came back to Mass Effect kind of in, like, August when I was on hiatus from work. And I picked it up, and I was like, it was only, like, 4 to 6 months later, and I couldn't remember how to do anything. And it took me a while. Like, if I had been working, then I don't think I would have gotten back into it, but...
Yeah,
because it's so hard to pick up something you haven't touched in a long time, and when you're in the middle and, you know, actually doing stuff.
I was totally like getting through it barely, and then I think by the time I finished the mission, I was like, okay, I think I got this. So I don't want to let go. So I think I'm going to play a bit more today and then get the other two DLC packs. I guess the two I have are the two that came out first, and they're not as good as the third one that everyone tells me to play, which is the Lair of the Shadow Broker. So.
I have... I can't remember which... The character I got for downloading was the thief person? Chick, I think?
Kasumi? So,
yeah, that's the DLC that I got. So yeah, there's one other, and then plus the Shadow Broker one that I still have to get, so...
Cool.
I think I'll get those two and play them and play one, and... So much to do right now, man!
Yeah, but we'll talk about that. I think it'd be nice to have a spoilerific Mass Effect podcast before the third one comes out that we can just, you know, get ourselves psyched up for Mass Effect 3, get everybody else psyched up, and maybe do that mid-February so everyone has some time to take what we talk about and act upon it and go out and buy that DLC, and then we'll get our check from EA.
Yeah, really. Yep, I'm all for that, man. I think that's gonna be awesome.
Cool.
So can we now talk about Mario now? Can we talk about Mario now?
No, it's my podcast. We're gonna talk about Mario.
I was gonna say you're the one who's the big, huge fanboy out of the two of us, which is saying a lot. Because I mean, I've played and I love Mario, and you know, but for you to say no, we can't talk about Mario, that's huge.
Let's talk about Mario.
Let's just talk about Mario. So neither one of us played Mario when it first came out on the NES, because when Super Mario Brothers 1 came out, it was 1985. So I was 1. Ryan, how old were you in 1985?
-2. Pretty sure my parents hadn't even thought of me at that point. Maybe. I don't know. I try not to think about it.
Oh, God. Now I'm thinking about it. Thanks. I don't even know your parents. So same thing goes for Super Mario Brothers 2 and 3. I think we got our Super Nintendo kind of when I was around like 6. So kind of 1990-ish, 91, somewhere in and around there. So my first game was actually the All-Stars. So I did play Super Mario, Super Mario 2, 3, and Super Mario World, but they all came bundled together in the All-Stars pack. So that was my first Mario title, was All-Stars, if that counts as a game.
I think it does.
What about you?
I'm in the same boat, whereas I'm pretty from what I recall, like again... I was actually thinking of calling home my parents and be like, when did we buy the Super NES? When did we buy the NES? Because I wasn't the only reason I got into gaming is because my parents had bought a Super NES for us. And then I believe – or no, okay, well, we got a Super NES. I'm not going to try to explain the whole thing. We got a Super NES, and then at that point, the NES was still being sold at a cheaper – probably a cheaper price, so – we were enjoying the Super NES so much that our parents went out and bought the NES for us as well. So we kind of retroactively went out and bought all the old NES games, mostly just like the Mario titles. So I think we had 1, 2, and 3 on NES cartridge, and I still have them. They're back home in a box, probably in a closet somewhere. You know, the day will come when my parents are like, all right, we're getting rid of all this crap, and I'll be the first one to grab them out of that box and be like, no, this box is going to forever live in my closet.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, well, you like to think
I still have my original Super Nintendo sitting in my closet ready to be. No, wait, it's hooked up now. Sorry, it's hooked up. The GameCube isn't hooked up because I have the Wii, but yeah, so fully on board with the using of the old cartridges, or the at least hanging on to them.
And it's hard to say what would have been my first Mario game. It's probably, if I had to, like, guess, it would be between Super Mario Land on the Game Boy, because we had a Game Boy near its release. Like, that was another thing we had. Or Super Mario World. I have strong memories about that game, playing it after it came out. But yeah, we definitely played through the first three. And, you know, now with Virtual Console, did you buy any games on your Wii, like Virtual Console games?
I bought all the old Zeldas.
Okay.
Yep. Because well, I had and played all the Marios, but my first Zelda game was Ocarina of Time, I think, on the 64.
Cool.
Yeah, so I went back and purchased all the ones before that on the Virtual Console.
Yeah, I have Super Mario 1, the Japanese 2, and 3 on the Wii. And I mean, they were just purchased as again, nostalgia. Like, I've probably played them a little bit, but, you know, it's funny when you actually sit down and figure it out how many copies of a Mario game you've purchased over the years, because Nintendo just constantly puts them out in different formats.
Yeah, I think actually I got my Wii used from my friend who wrote in the feedback that we're going to use this week. So I got it from him used, and so he had some Virtual Console titles on there too, and there are a couple Mario games on there, I think. I haven't played them, but they're there. But yeah, I actually just remembered as we were talking, which I think is how this podcast is going to go. I remember I had a friend who had the NES at his place, and so I always used to go over there and we would play, and I loved playing Mario. It was like the original Super Mario Brothers. And so I would go home and I'd be like, Mom, can I please have Mario? Can I please have Mario? And we didn't have a ton of money. So my mom, for Christmas, got me this little, like, handheld, because I was going to say I never had a Game Boy or anything else, so I never played a handheld Mario game. But she got me this, like, little, like, handheld, only had the one game on it, Mario game. And it was literally just, I don't even think it was officially licensed by Nintendo. But it was just like, you played this little Mario character, and it said Mario at the top, and it just, like, you would jump from, like, platform to platform to platform, and every once in a while there would be, like, this blob that would shoot across the screen that you had to avoid, and then there was, like, holes in the ground that you couldn't fall in, and, like, sometimes the platforms moved and stuff, and I remember, like, I played the crud out of that game. I'm so afraid of my language now. I played that thing through I don't even know how many times, and it was just level after level, and I would beat it, and then you had to, like, get a pen and push the button in the back to reset it.
Oh.
Yep. And then so I'd play it all the way through again, and I'd play it, like, our drives up to the cottage were like 4 hours long, and so I would just, like, play through while we were driving, and my mom was like, this is the best thing we ever bought.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was actually licensed by Nintendo. It sounds like it would have been one of those. Back in the day, you saw them all the time. They're like these handheld, like, black on gray screen type games.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been. I guess Nintendo had them back in the day. They were game set and watch consoles, I guess. But yeah, I remember. The only thing, the strongest memory I have about those types of games is there was a Batman one that my cousin had, and he got it, and we played it on Christmas, and yeah, I don't miss those type of games.
But yeah, I mean, like, I'm gonna Google it when we get when we stop recording, and then see if I can't find a link to it, and then I'll put it in the show notes so everyone can see my first Mario game.
Cool. Yeah.
So sorry, tangent. Where were we?
I don't know. Do we want to go through the list, or do you want to, like, just? How do you want to do this?
I think we should keep going through the list. I think it's pretty good. So our next title. Where are we here? Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of, like I said, other than my little may have been licensed, may not have been licensed handheld. I didn't have a Game Boy, so I never played the portable Mario games. So, do you want to tell us about some of those titles?
Sure. The first one I had played was actually the first Mario game that came out on the Game Boy, which was Super Mario Land. And it was kind of this, when I was a kid, I loved it. But, like, when you research it now, it's kind of seen as this weird half title. We need to get a Mario game on the platform. Mm. And surprisingly, I had purchased it on the 3DS Virtual Console and played through it. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how I remember it. I'm pretty sure I didn't pay $3.99 as a kid for it, but it's super fun, and it's a non-traditional kind of Mario platformer where the water levels, you'd be in this like submarine and you'd be shooting bullets and stuff, which is kind of cool.
What?
Yeah, and there's flying levels where you're in a biplane and you're going around shooting things.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty different from your standard Mario game, but you're definitely Mario, and you're trying to save, I think, Daisy. I think that's the first appearance of Princess Daisy.
Oh, okay. I always wondered where she came from.
Yeah,
I don't think actually, off the top of my head, I can't remember playing a title, and I'm sure the listeners are going to be so mad at me right now, that had Daisy as the princess. Because I played all on the main consoles, not the portables. And then she was in like Mario Kart as a character you could play, and I was like, who is this chick? She's like a Peach knockoff.
She's Luigi's
Peach. Do they just need more girls? Oh.
So you have Mario and Peach, you have Luigi and Daisy, then you have Donkey Kong and Pauline. Yeah, so that's kind of how it works. I mean, I guess Mario...
Who names these characters?
Shigeru Miyamoto, probably. I don't know. But, like, Pauline is the Donkey Kong Jumpman one. And she came back, actually, in some Mario versus Donkey Kong titles. I don't know if you ever played those. But we're kind of sticking... From our list here, we're sticking to the main, like, Mario...
No Mario Karts, no Mario Parties.
Oh, Mario Party, the original one, I love.
No
that
Mario
game.
Parties.
Oh, all right, fine. Our listeners are gonna be like, you know, you should let Ryan make some decisions, and we should talk about Mario Party.
Maybe we will. Mario Party's a franchise.
I'm just kidding. Ryan makes plenty of decisions. Jocelyn is not the iron fist of this podcast. We both have iron fists. Slam them on the desks as much as possible.
Anyway, so what about Wario Land? Because I never played that one either, obviously, because it's on the Game Boy. So
from what I understand, Wario Land is the sequel to Super Mario Land 2, which is the first appearance of Wario. I played Super Mario Land 2. Again, that's another one that I remember playing vividly. With my brothers, and you know, it had the appearance of rabbit ears. You know, like once you got past, once you hit Super Mario Brothers 3, like Mario started having these like suit powers, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like you had the Tanuki suit in Super Mario 3, and I shouldn't say that. Obviously, like the fire flower was the first one, but.
Yeah, but that wasn't really a suit. That was a power.
Yeah, I think it was more an upgrade than anything, but
yeah.
Super Mario Land 2 was a traditional Mario platformer on the Game Boy, so it was kind of the game you expected Super Mario Land to be.
Mm.
But Wario Land, from what I understand, is the sequel to that. I actually haven't played it, but you are given it free for being a... 3DS ambassador. So I do have it on 3DS.
An ambassador?
Yeah, so like when the 3DS came out, if you bought it before the price drop, you were an ambassador.
Oh, I see.
So yeah. Which is neat, because I guess the value of those games you get for free, you know, if you look at Nintendo pricing for digital downloads, you're making off like a bandit. You know, you're getting $200 worth of software for the extra $80 you put into the device.
Oh, cool.
But who's to say you're going to play all those games, right?
Well, or, yeah.
You know, but yeah, you know, Super NES, just like Super Mario World, was that Mario game, the first one where you're like, where I was like, man, Mario is the greatest. Like, Super Mario World was the first one that we like religiously played, me and my brothers.
Oh, yeah. I think I played through that two or three times. And, like, it was so good because you would get to the new level and then you would see that the little thing on the map was glowing red and you were like, oh, this goes two ways. There's a secret way out of this level. And it was so exciting. I still think, I think if you put all my playthroughs together, I think I've gone through and unlocked everything. But I don't think that I ever went through and found all the secrets and everything else in one playthrough.
Mm. And that was the first appearance of Yoshi.
Yes. Love that guy.
It was cool. Yeah.
I was like, I totally want to make the sound, but I'm going to be no good at it, so I'm just going to let it go.
As soon as you jump at it, jump on Yoshi, he just makes that sound. And then I always loved how it changed the music. You know, it had this, like...
this like cool this, drum beat in the background. Yeah.
I'm not going to try to do it.
It was like, it got you so excited and pumped because it's like you had your normal music and then all of a sudden you get on Yoshi and it's like, yeah, I'm ready to go now. And you could run fast and you could jump higher and, oh, Yoshi's awesome.
And I would always hate, like, when you get hit by a shell and Yoshi, like, squeals and starts running around like mad and you're like, no, Yoshi.
Please come back. I didn't mean it.
Yeah. Or he, like, runs off a cliff like a lemming and you're like, damn it. I needed like, that guy.
Yeah, why wouldn't you at least jump? Like, come on, Death Wish much?
Oh, or Yoshi powers in that game too. Like, if you swallowed a specific shell, he'd like turn into breathe fire, or he would fly. Man, so good.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because there was more than just that. I can't remember all the other ones he did, but yeah, Yoshi powers are awesome.
I miss Yoshi powers.
I also played Yoshi's Island, which was Super Mario World 2. I didn't finish it. My cousins had it. I didn't have it, so I only played it a few times. But I remember it was really, really good. But there was, like, there's something about it that was really hard really early on. I can't remember now. But basically, it was like we started playing it, and then we all got stuck, and we were just like, psh, next game. So I haven't actually finished it and now don't own it. But I should find it emulated somewhere. Must be.
Yeah, I have, again, that's another game that you received as part of the Abaster program.
Oh, really?
Really need to get around to playing those games, you know.
They seem like, I mean, they were such big titles back in the day. It seems weird that they'd be given away now. But, I mean, like, anyone who's didn't grow up with all these franchises and stuff, then I can imagine they'd just be like, psh, Yoshi's Island, this game looked like crap. Where's my 3D something?
Yeah, they're just...
Super Mario 3D Land, that's it.
That game's awesome.
So then that brings us up to Super Mario 64, which was freaking awesome.
Yeah,
I love that title.
That game's amazing. How could you not have played that? You know, it was like the first 3D open world kind of... It's just so different from anything you could play in those days.
Yeah, I loved that game. That's actually my favorite Mario memory, is we would sit around playing after school, because again, like, until I was old enough to start working and buying my own consoles, I was always years behind everybody else. So I didn't have a 64 until, like, the GameCube was coming out kind of thing. Well, no, not that late, but, you know, like, it was... a long time. I was in high school before I had the 64, so I remember, like, we were sitting around playing at a friend's house, and then we'd be, like, passing the controller after, like, you die or you get a star or something. In my notes, I have written, after a death slash star. Star Wars. Sorry. Tangent. Anyways, I just realized that now. Morning, Jocelyn should not be allowed to record things. Okay, so, yeah, we were all sitting around, and, you know, as soon as you die or as soon as you get a star, then you pass the controller to somebody else, and everyone else would be done and sick of playing the game, and I was always like, come on, let's just play one more star, guys, because I knew I couldn't go home and play. So I was like, oh, come on, one more, one more. I literally couldn't put it down, even when, you know, like, it wasn't even mine to play.
Yeah, that game's weird, because we didn't actually get an N64 on launch. Like, we were still... in this phase where, you know, we couldn't buy it ourselves because we were kids, right? But we eventually did get it. But I first played it because my friend in elementary school, I think I might have been grade 7 or something, he had an N64 and he bought it immediately. But he was, like, lending the N64 and Super Mario 64 to his friends.
Which smart was kid.
So weird. Well, not smart, because it was so weird, right? Like, it's like, oh, you want to borrow it for a weekend? Here you go. You can take it. I didn't give him anything for it. He just
I thought he was like charging you. Like, no. Here, sure, you can totally rent it from me for a weekend.
No, I remember having it for like a week or a weekend and just playing that game, and I'm like, this is awesome. But we did eventually like go out and pick up an N64, and with that game, obviously, and did you get all the stars in that game?
No, I have never actually beat that game, I don't think.
Okay. Well, I got me and my brothers got all 120 stars, and then at the end, I think we're good.
See, you keep saying you and your brothers. I think that's cheating, because it's there's not games cheating. That I haven't finished, but it's just my raw talent. It's not me relying on my quote-unquote brothers.
Well, okay. Well, I have three brothers. At this point, I would have only had two brothers who would have been able to play the game. But no, out of the three of us, I was the gamer, and the other two were as good.
Sure you were.
But no, all of my early Mario memories are attached to my brothers, because that's what we did. We played. The only reason we had a bunch of video games is because we'd all like pool our allowances or whatever money we could scrounge together to buy these games. But we had got all 120 stars, and at the end, if you got all 120 stars, this cannon would open up, and you'd get in the cannon, and it'd shoot you onto the top of the castle.
Oh, cool!
And Yoshi was up there.
Really?
Yeah! And he gave you 100 lives, and he basically said, thanks for collecting all the stars. Now here's 100 lives, so you can go around and explore the game. But it was really neat.
If you already got all the stars, haven't you already explored the game and done everything you could do?
Well, basically, he's giving you 100 lives so you can just go out and enjoy the game. There's no, you're right, there's nothing you can get, but it's still a cool touch. You see Yoshi. You didn't get to ride him, he was just there. He was huge, though. Like, the way they kind of portrayed him, like twice the size he usually is. Like, you wouldn't able to get on him. And why is he on the roof? I don't... How did he get up there?
You're overthinking this, man. You're overthinking it.
Where does he stash those 100 mushrooms that he gives you? Like, I don't know. We're gonna overthink it. Let's get in on this, you know.
Oh, no, theory man. Craft this I, shit. No, I can't.
You're at least one or two pot of coffee away.
On this episode, which we may have to do already, anyways.
We can say shit.
So, Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh, yes. Super Mario Sunshine.
So, I think this is probably... It was different. Way different than all the other stuff previous to it. I think it's kind of the one that people would not necessarily like so much. Like, probably one of the lower down there titles in the franchise. I don't know. What were your thoughts? You played this and played it through like I did, right?
Yeah. I really like this game, and the GameCube marked the first console that we legitimately planned to get near launch. I think we had it the Christmas, so like a month after launch, and obviously Super Mario Sunshine did not launch with the system. I think it was a couple summers after. But we picked it up, and I guess at this point I can say I picked it up and played it. But it was really cool. Like, it was the first one to kind of have more voice acting than the standard Mario like phrases. It, like, I think a couple of the characters actually talked in cutscenes, like Peach and Toadsworth. Not that that is like a crowning moment for the Mario series. I think a lot of people hated that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of different mechanics in this game that it had never had before. So I think you kind of either loved the departure from the way the franchise used to be, or you absolutely hated it. Like, there's not a whole lot of, yeah, it was okay. Yeah, I played it. It was fine. Like, I think it's you either really, really liked it or really didn't like it.
It was... Basically, what they did was they created Super Mario 64, the same game. Like, you're going after different things, but and it's in a different setting. But, like, if you take away your jetpack or Mario, what is it? That water pack.
The water pack, yeah.
Flood, or whatever it's called. I think it was called Flood. But you take that away, and it's the same game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was cool. Like, obviously, like, the moment I remember the most is this level where you climb this tower and you get onto the roof to face the Petey Piranha guy.
Yeah!
And then you're both looking at each other, and then the roof starts to crack, and you both look at the ground, you look up at each other, you look back at the ground, and then you fall through.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I remember the most, but that game was really cool, and I think it's really underrated. A lot of people, you're right, a lot of people hated it because, like, oh man, you have to clean. It's
yeah.
So stupid.
There were some parts of that got a little bit annoying because it's like, I found the water was a little bit hard to get used to and aim and stuff. So when you were cleaning things off, it's like, okay, yeah, it's basically clean. There's like one little spot of like paint or whatever it was that was still there. And it was just like, oh, you know, like, I get it. This has already taken me 2 minutes. Like, just say that it's clean and let me go on, you know? Like, there were a couple of like little picky, finicky parts like that. Like, not full on glitchy, but just like, just enough to be annoying.
Yeah, and then they had like the standard platforming levels where you'd go down a tunnel and you'd be sort of falling, and there'd be this cutscene where Shadow Mario would come in and steal Flood, and you'd be on your own, and it was kind of like, oh, this is where I get to do some traditional platforming, and that was some of the coolest levels in that game.
Yeah, that Shadow Mario was a jerk.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it turned out to be Bowser Jr., who I'm pretty sure Nintendo tries to suggest that in this game, that Bowser Jr. is the offspring of Peach and Bowser.
Yes.
that is the creepiest thing I've ever experienced. But you'll notice that our listeners will notice that now that we're getting into this like GameCube era and forward, we're starting to talk a lot more about the games, you know? Because I think, I don't know about you, but this is the one game that I can, you know, maybe Mario 64, but this one especially is the one I can actually look back on and like vividly remember, because it really wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
10
yeah,
years,
you have
I guess.
Written in here 2002, and I was kind of like, I was thinking about it, and I was like, wow, I know I got my GameCube in 2003 because I got it when I can't remember if it was right around when Wind Waker came out, but that was definitely why I bought my system, was to play the new Zelda. So I remember that I got it in my first year of university, so that was 2003. So, yeah, I think I got Mario Sunshine a little bit after I played through Wind Waker, and I needed a new title to play, so. But yeah, like, it really wasn't that long ago that we were playing on the GameCube.
10 years ago.
Yeah, I guess. 2012 now. Oh my god, I'm so old.
I know. It's hard
and
to
me
think
saying
about.
I'm so old is going to make some of our listeners think that they're so much older.
Yeah. There's always someone out there who's like, I remember.
You think you're old.
Yeah, like, they have the same experiences with Super Mario Brothers on the NES that we're having with Super Mario Galaxy. Or
yeah.
Sunshine.
Sunshine, yeah.
But no, that game was a lot of fun, and I'm pretty sure I got, if not all the stars, I got pretty far.
I think I definitely finished the storyline, mm-hmm. and I'm fairly certain I picked up most. I don't think all, but definitely most.
Oh, and we would be wrong to miss this and not say that Yoshi was in this game. You actually got to ride Yoshi in this game.
Yes!
The return of the dinosaurs. But yeah, but it seemed like an afterthought. It was more like, you could use, I don't remember using him in any levels, but I know you could get him in the overworld.
Yeah.
And kind of use him as a transport kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you remember using him in levels?
No, I don't remember using him in levels.
Well, then maybe I'm right in remembering him, only it's kind of a, hey, we put Yoshi in the game, you can get on him and stuff. Oh, all right. Cool, I guess. Yoshi's always, sorry.
Okay. No, go talk about Yoshi. I was going to talk about
Yoshi. I was just going to say that besides, and I know we're not, you know, talking, you know, there's games coming up that we're going to talk about where Yoshi plays a bigger part, but besides Super Mario World, up until now, and I guess Super Mario World 2, mm-hmm. after that, Yoshi really doesn't play a huge part until, I guess, you know, in the future, like in the Wii. Like, he's not really a thing in the Mario games on the N64 or the GameCube. He's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
Which, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I like playing with Yoshi. I like riding around on Yoshi and using his different powers and stuff. So, I mean, like, whenever he's not included in a game, I'm always kind of like, aw, where's my Yoshi?
Yoshi's pretty neat.
I love Yoshi.
We should have a Yoshi episode.
We probably could.
I wonder.
We'll have to look into that.
He was awesome in Mario Tennis, gotta say.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I loved playing games on the GameCube. I prefer playing GameCube games to Wii games often. So, but yeah, that brings us up to, I guess, well, it's another portable DS platform that Jocelyn didn't play because we've been over a billion times. She doesn't play portable games. So, new Super Mario Brothers.
You heard it here first. Jocelyn just said she's not a gamer.
What? Did I? Wait
kidding.
A minute.
I skewed her words.
You did.
I know. I'm evil. Super Mario, new Super Mario Bros. The DS. I remember when they first showed. What?
New Super Mario Bros.
Oh, sorry. That's a thing I'm not supposed to do. New Super Mario Brothers. As a kid, we'd always say bros.
Ah.
But we'd never say VS. We'd always say versus.
Well, that's good.
Yes. I remember when they... And this is in that point of time where I started to get really serious about gaming. And I think... I remember watching the unveil of this at E3. Like, obviously, over the internet. I wasn't at E3. but New Super Mario Brothers was kind of touted as the return to the 2D side-scroller. And... It was cool because I won't talk about this a lot because you haven't played it, but it had some neat power-ups. One of them being you got this giant mushroom and you would turn into a giant Mario and you would basically run through the level crushing everything.
That sounds awesome.
It's pretty neat. But it was a
smash.
It was cool because like the first castle was you would like do the castle and it's like recreation of. The castles in Super Mario Brothers for the NES. And at the end, you'd see Bowser, and he'd be, like, shooting fireballs at you. You'd have to jump over him and hit the axe, and then the bridge goes down. He falls in the fire, and I thought that was a really cool thing. But it was really, like, jarring to see because now that it was in 3D, they could kind of do more with it. And it was very un-Nintendo-like where when he falls in the lava, he sinks. Then comes back up, like, screaming in agony, goes back down, comes back up, and it's just a skeleton moving. I'm like, that's kind of dark.
That's really dark.
Mm-hmm. And,
because even, like, I'm thinking of Super Mario 64, you don't die.
No.
You, like, I mean, I'm thinking, like, when you fall in the lava, your butt catches on fire, and you jump up and down, and you scream. And if you do it too much so that you lose all your life, it's just like Bowser's face and he laughs. And then same thing, if you fall off the side of something, it just kind of like, same thing in Galaxy and everything else, is it just kind of like fades and spits you back out to, you know, wherever you started from. You don't actually like die.
Yeah, but like when you drown in Super Mario 64, that's
oh, yeah,
really bad.
Yeah, that was pretty graphic, actually.
Where he'd, like, gasp for air.
Yeah, and just kind of, like, twitching and convulsing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not cool. That gave me nightmares.
Wuss.
Yeah. Actually, I had a dream that they announced Super Mario 64 2, and you could play as Luigi. I remember that vividly as a kid. Like, and, like, you'd play as Luigi, and you'd be able to switch on the fly, and it was so cool. And then they came out, actually, with Super Mario 64... DS, and you could play as Luigi.
Ah.
So, thanks, Nintendo, for stealing my dream idea. Asshole. Oh! Maybe we will go explicit. I don't know.
I think we should.
I think if we were to start talking with sentence enhancers, we would stray away from the really bad ones. Anyway, this is a Mario podcast. There should be no swear words.
There should be no swear words.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. If people have an issue with the language we're using, then I guess we'll try to curb it. But We haven't got any complaints, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, so far, knock on wood. You totally just jinxed it now, though. Thanks, bud.
Hey, you know, feedback is feedback. If anyone has complaints, send it in.
So, Super Mario Galaxy, which is we're getting into the much newer Wii titles now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've played through Super Mario Galaxy all the way. I enjoyed it. It had, like, the maps the way that the old stuff did, and so it wasn't, like, open world. Like, you couldn't just fly your spaceship anywhere. But then, like, yeah, all the new mechanics and stuff, and the running around and jumping from planet to planet, and I enjoy it. Except for when you have to balance on top of a ball. You know, when you, like, there's, like, the ball thing that you have to jump on top of, and then you have to use your Wiimote to kind of direct the ball.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Man, that's a pain in the butt.
Did you have to, like, hold the Wiimote straight up and kind of...
Straight up,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like
and
a joystick.
Like a joystick, yeah. Cool. Except for it's, like, way more sensitive than a joystick, and it's not, like, stuck into anything. So the bottom moves, too, so it's, like, oh, God. Yeah. Did not like, but again, that's a motion control thing. Everything else about that game I thought was fine. Mm-hmm. When you walk around with your little nunchuck controller and you push buttons and point at stuff with your Wiimote, that's fine. But it's just as soon as you make it about motion control, I'm like, duh, this sucks.
And that was a great looking Mario game. Like, they really pushed the Wii with that.
Yeah, and I just play... Actually, I'll talk about it later. Sorry, never mind.
But I remember when they showed that off, it was really different, like Mario in space, right? So
Mario in space!
And then they had the, you know, rather than... I think there might have been the triple jump in there, but there was that added extra, like, you know, waggle the Wiimote and you do, like, the spinny thing.
The spin thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Waggle.
Yeah. At some point, we'll be past the... I think at this point, it'll be interesting to see what Nintendo does with the Wii U, but I don't think we'll be talking about Waggle much more once the Wii U comes out.
That big tablet controller thing, like, you're not going to be able to shake and wiggle that thing the way that you can a Wiimote, so...
No, but the Wii U is compatible with the Wiimotes for... Wii U games, but I still think that developers will transition to the tablet controller. But I kind of want to hold one before I pass judgment, because something about holding an iPad or a smaller than iPad screen size it's basically like a stretch controller, but I want to know how good it would feel, because I kind of want to move back to traditional controls.
Me too, and I feel like it's going to be heavy, you know? Like, even when I'm playing my Xbox, I have the attachment on it, the little keyboard attachment, and I find even that makes the controller heavy enough that I notice it if I game for too long. So, usually I just switch to my other controller without the little keypad thing on it, but anyway, it's not the point. Point is that I start to notice that extra little bit of added weight within a couple of hours of playing. And the Xbox controller isn't that heavy. So I think that if you add controls to a screen that's just slightly smaller than an iPad, because iPads are surprisingly heavy too, that you're really going to notice when you start to play that you can't sit down and game for hours on end, which for me is a problem. I love gaming. I want to game all the time. So if I can't do it because my controller's too heavy, I'm probably not going to pick up the platform.
Well, I would think Nintendo... kind of knows what they're doing when it comes to a control device, like, for to a certain extent. Like, they're not going to make you hold a 5-pound tablet. You know, I don't know.
Well, I know, but I feel like they've... Because just with the way that the Wii's gone, I know, like, everyone harps on them, and they were just going after the casual gamer and stuff, but it's almost like they've forgotten what a hardcore gamer is like. That, like... They're thinking that you're going to sit down and play with your friends or your kids or whatever for an hour or two, and then you're going to put it away. I don't play for an hour or two. I play for, like, I'm thinking especially lately with Skyrim. I come home from work at, like, 5 o'clock, I sit down on my couch, and I play pretty much until I go to bed. So I play for, like, 6 hours straight of games a night. And even, like, when it hasn't been Skyrim, I've been playing some other titles on the PC. But it's literally, like, I game all night long, like, in six-hour chunks. And on the weekends, if I don't have podcasts to record, then I can sit and I can play from when I wake up until pretty much when I go to bed. And I just game. And I don't think that the people at Nintendo are really taking that extreme hardcore marathon type gaming experience into account when they're making their new controller. We're totally off on a tangent.
Well, I was just going to say that Nintendo has gone on record saying that they know they've slipped up with the hardcore crowd, and with this new one, their whole idea around it is catering to the casual gamers, but also coming back to the hardcores as well.
I know, and I know I've heard that too, but I think that they're not taking into account the length of playtime. Like, they might be thinking, oh, we'll have more hardcore titles and we'll make the controller, you know, easier to use and less, like, move away from motion a little bit. But I still don't think that they're taking in that, like, the length of time that you're, or a hardcore gamer would sit in front of the TV and play. That's
right.
That's my point.
Now keep in mind that the Wii U tablet is literally just a screen, right? It's not any, there's no hardware guts in there because it's streaming video from the Wii U to the tablet. It's not,
oh, I know,
it have its own processor, so, well, it might have something in there.
But it's still, I mean, if you're running, you're going to have to run some kind of, like, processor type something, right? Because it has to send and receive a signal, and then you're going to have your screen, so that's going to have to be lit somehow, plus you have your controls, plus you're going to have to power all of that, so unless it's wired, you have a battery.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Actually, this year we'll know a hell of a lot more about the Wii U. And they've gone on record saying that there will be some news released before E3 in July. But it will be interesting to see what, basically, come the summer, we're going to know exactly what the Wii U is, when it's coming out, and what games to expect for it. So I think we just kind of have to wait. You know, we could speculate all we want, but all we know so far is that the Wii U controller is this tablet mixed with a traditional control type, and
right.
It'll be interesting to see how it works out.
So, yeah, sorry about that tangent, guys.
I apologize.
Back to Mario. But yeah, so Super Mario Galaxy, awesome, fun game, except for the motion controlling of the running around on the hamster ball.
Exactly.
So next was Super Mario Brothers, the new Super Mario Brothers on the Wii, which I played and played through and loved. It was not all open worldy. It was back to levels and worlds and stuff like that, the way that the old Mario titles were. But you could play with up to four people. I never played with up to four people. I played with one other person, I think, was the most I ever played with. Did you play with a lot of people?
This game came out at the point where I was living with some roommates in university, and I went out specifically to buy a fourth controller so four people could play at the same time, and it's some of the most fun I've had playing a Mario game, but it's also some of the most frustrating time I've had playing a Mario game, because...
Yeah. Because I remember, like, even just with two people, it got frustrating sometimes, because you would bounce off each other. So you were, like, I would go to jump somewhere, and then, like, whoever I was playing with would go to jump in the same spot, and then we'd kind of hit in the middle and die. Like, so frustrating.
But this marked a really cool idea for the franchise. Like, how many times have you always wanted to play co-op Mario platforming?
Oh, yeah, completely.
And it really did it really well. And, you know, when you got that flow and you kind of said, okay, guys, let's not throw each other off cliffs and whatnot, let's try to do this. I think it was really cool.
As we talked about with Portal last week on our last episode, I'm not the best co-op player. I will throw you off cliffs and into water.
Something about being able to, like, do that was really awesome. But there's some great videos out there of people doing awesome things with the co-op system. Where, like, there's this video out there I remember watching where people juggled Luigi across the whole map.
Oh, yeah.
It was really neat. I should dig it up. We'll put it in the show notes.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm just writing a note in our show notes now that we have to go look for that.
Yeah. But yeah, and then after that we had Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Yes.
Something we hadn't seen Nintendo doing since the NES days, where they literally release a straight up sequel. You know, same gameplay mechanics, same setting.
Yep.
You know, just, and I think when they originally announced it, they said they were originally thinking like they had all these ideas left over, and they wanted to do a Super Mario Galaxy 1.5. But I think really this game turned out to be a true sequel, which also marks the return of actually controlling Yoshi and having him be useful.
Mm-hmm. Which this is what I was going to say earlier when we were talking about Galaxy. I played Galaxy 2 last night, and I played through a world. And I was going to say when we were talking about pushing the limits of the Wii in terms of graphics and stuff like that, last time I picked up Galaxy 2, I think I was still playing on my old small tube-type TV.
Oh.
And so I picked it up last night, and I'm playing on my, like, my new 32-inch LCD TV. And I've been too hard on Zelda. You heard it here first, people. I've been too hard on Zelda. Because I remember Galaxy looking awesome. And it was so fun to play. And, you know, like, it was great. I loved it. And then I was playing Galaxy last night on my new TV. It's still awesome. It's still playable. And it doesn't bug me as much as Zelda did. But I think my expectations for Zelda were too high. And it had been too long since I picked up a Wii title. So, I mean, I played the Harry Potter game, the Lego Harry Potter game, but it's kind of blocky anyway. So, when I picked up Mario, I was like, as soon as I turned it on and started moving around, I was like, oh, crud. I'm so sorry, Zelda.
You know, it's the HDTV.
It is.
The Wii is not built for it, and I remember when the Wii came out, I had a tube TV, and I had a tube TV basically until midway through... I guess it would have been like 2009 when my roommate actually picked up an HDTV for the house. And you play those games on it and it looks fine because that's what the console is designed to do. It's for, at best, 480p. And I don't know a lot about how that stuff all breaks down, but I know that HDTVs require 720 or 1080p to display a good image.
Yeah.
So.
And my, yeah. My TV is 720 because it's so small. So I didn't bother getting 1080 because it doesn't really make a difference at that size. But yeah, I feel really bad now actually about how much I ripped Zelda for its graphics.
Well, you know, go out, pick up a 20-inch tube TV, and go nuts.
I actually thought about checking Kijiji and finding one.
Why not?
Well, I'm looking to move. Very, very shortly, so I don't really want to move more than I absolutely have to, especially a tube TV.
It was more a rhetorical question. You know, why not? Oh, you know, that's a good idea.
Well, it's something I thought of, so clearly it's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't mind. I know, I realize that it's not going to look as great, and, you know, I might even be more inclined to play it on a tube TV, because then it would look truly as they wanted it to look, but...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But yeah, so yeah, Galaxy 2, again, very, very fun title. And last night, actually, I got a chance to play as Luigi,
yay,
which I did. And then there was a level where I was Yoshi as well. And I got to ride on Yoshi. And he, like, eats the bullets and, like, spits them out at things. And, like, man, he's so useful. He does the little jump. And then if you keep holding the A button, then he, like, goes, and jumps a little bit higher.
The hover jump, yeah.
The hover jump, yeah. And I was just like, oh, Yoshi, you're awesome. I never would have made that jump if it wasn't for you.
Mm.
Yeah, so I like Galaxy. So I haven't beaten it yet. I think I'm last night I played through World 4. So I'm about halfway through, I guess. Yeah.
I think I did get through all the levels but didn't get all the stars or whatever.
Yeah. Some of the stars are hard.
Yeah.
Especially
game.
The ones, there was one that I tried to get last night because I was, I played through the first star on all the levels, and then I had to go back to some of the previous worlds to get enough to open up the portal to Bowser, or not Bowser, the little guy, Bowser Jr.
Bowser Jr.
Yeah. I can never remember because Bowser has so many minions. I can never remember which one it is that I'm actually fighting. But I think you're right. I think it's Junior in this one. And I had to go back to this tree level, and it had this slide that you had to go down, and you had to ride the slide all the way down to the bottom in order to get the star, which is fine, except for the slide has no edges, like the Rainbow Road in one of the Mario Karts. And it's, like, twisty, like a corkscrew in some spots. So you have to, like, not fly off the edge, but do these, like, crazy turns and stuff. And this is the one I was playing as Luigi. Man, oh, man, it was hard. And I was just like, this is, like, I think it was in World 2 or World 3 where this level was. And I'm like, this is supposed to be the easy stuff. I hate slides with no edges. Like, I just kind of want to bounce down, like the bumpers in bowling. When you're bowling with the little things that cover the gutters, and so your ball can just bounce all the way down and it never falls. That's how I want my Mario slides to be.
The bumpers or whatever they call them for
pretty
bowling.
Sure bumpers. Pretty yeah. Sure I covered that.
Yes, you did. Yeah, and then we have the latest Mario platformer to come out, being Super Mario 3D Land. Which is kind of a mash between the original Land games and Super Mario Galaxy, in the sense that it's not a 2D platformer, but it's very condensed spaces. So you are running around in 3D, but it's not like open field. It's more like how Galaxy did it, in the sense that they had you were in space and there was these, you know, platforms set up for you to run around, and sometimes it would be like small platform to platform, but other times it would be this whole world kind of floating in mm-hmm. space. Obviously,
Made it kind of feel, even though it was levels, as far as Galaxy, I haven't played 3D Land, obviously, but it felt more like open world because you were floating in space. It's like, well, the open world was all there, but it was space, so obviously you can't just go floating off into space. So it felt open worldy, even though it was very directed, you know,
yeah,
the way that Zelda is, but not, but better.
And Super Mario 3D Land also kind of mixed up the Bowser encounters, and I think the best way to describe it is when you think back to the original Mario game on the NES, where you're going through the castle and there's this constant like fireballs coming at you.
Yes.
Some of the Bowser castle levels shows Bowser at the end of the level and zooms back to you, and there's these fireballs coming at you, and you have to kind of run around and dodge them, and it's all about getting up close to Bowser and then like hitting him, and he'll jump back and start shooting fireballs at you again. And I think it really had a cool setup for that. And I beat the main story, but as soon as you beat the main story, it kind of unlocks all the levels again, but with a twist. So either it's like the same level with some new stuff added, or it's like a completely new level inspired by the old level. It's weird. But it's really neat. I need to go back and kind of finish those levels, but I think the last
that was like the new Super Mario Brothers on the Wii that I beat it, but then it opens up when the World 9, where it's like you get 9-1 when you collect all the coins, or like all those 3 coins per level in World 1. So then you have to go back and play the whole game again and collect all of those coins in order to unlock. So it's like 9-1 is when you beat World 1, and then 9-2 is when you beat World 2. And so I haven't gone back and done all of that extra content, but it's hard, man.
And my roommates did that. I never actually beat that game because I think at that point I was working on something, and they were playing it, and they kind of got all the coins and beat those special worlds. So I think that was one of the Mario games that I really didn't latch on to. I was more of a fan of the 3D ones.
Right. So yeah, I think we've pretty much wrapped up our Mario talk, have we? Is there more stuff you want to talk about? Oh, there is more stuff I want to talk about. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to talk about, in our notes here, we have some like questions that we wanted to touch on. And I think we've kind of gone through most of them, but I wanted to talk about my strongest memory related to Mario. And I was trying to go back and remember, you know, all the old games and stuff. And I found it all always for me kept coming back to the music. I can hear the music of a Mario game and it takes me right back. It makes me want to play. And they're just the soundtracks of all the Mario games. I just find they're so nostalgic. They're so awesome. And so I actually couldn't pick one. I picked one song that I think is probably just my favorite of all the Mario music. But yeah, I think just the music of the Mario franchise in general, I absolutely love. And it brings me back every single time I hear it. So I think my favorite one is actually the Hazy Maze Cave music from Mario 64, which I will we'll totally link to in the show notes. But I love it. I wish we could play it right now so then I could just sit here and be happy.
The cool thing about Super Mario Galaxy or Galaxy 2 is that they had orchestral Mario music. So I thought that it was really cool to kind of turn that MIDI music that you had with the older games and kind of change it into like an orchestrated rendition of the classic Mario titles. And that was really cool.
Yeah, they did the same thing with the Zelda music in the Collector's Edition, the soundtrack that came with it. They did the same thing. They took all the old music and made it all
That was fantastic, that CD. And I have the Mario one as well because we were talking about Super Mario All-Stars. And this weird thing happened where for Mario's 25th anniversary, they released Super Mario All-Stars on the Wii. And I remember thinking about getting it and it was super limited quantity, so when it came out, I actually couldn't find it. And I was, like, super bummed, and I was like, all right, whatever. And then they announced in December of 2010 that they would be releasing early 2011 another release of it, just because people wanted it so bad.
Right.
And it came with a music CD, which with all the Mario songs on it, kind of redone, but some old ones as well, but... The cool thing about Super Mario All-Stars, and I couldn't remember why I remembered it so vividly, because when I was playing it on the Wii, I was like, for some reason, this is very familiar. And I never played it on Super NES, but I actually picked up a copy of it for my older brother. Now, my older brother is type 2 diabetic, and I remember the whole reason I remember Super Mario All-Stars so much is because when he was first in the hospital after he was diagnosed, and they had him in the hospital for a while trying to figure out what was wrong with him, and the guy in the hospital bed, the kid in the hospital bed beside him, had broke his leg sledding, and he had his parents bring in his Super NES, and they were playing Super Mario All-Stars.
Oh, nice.
That's the only reason I remember that game so vividly. I don't even think I played, but I remember going into the hospital and they'd be sitting there playing Super Mario All-Stars in the hospital. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yes. So I picked up I picked up two copies when they did the re-release of Super Mario All-Stars, and I got one for my older brother, and I have one here, and it's really neat. I think it's a cool way for Nintendo to kind of acknowledge that Mario's been around for 25 years.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, yeah, I think we're both looking forward to any future Mario titles that they put out. I know I'll definitely pick them up and play them because I heart Mario so much.
Well, I'm super excited to see what Nintendo does with Mario on the Wii U, because the way Nintendo kind of works is their key franchise being Mario kind of always takes the Nintendo platform and whatever's unique about it and kind of shows you exactly why Nintendo made the system the way it is. Like, you know, when the Wii came out and you were playing Super Mario Galaxy, that kind of made you think, oh, okay, this is how motion gaming can work to an extent.
Right.
You know, it kind of showed it off really well. So I'm excited to see what they do with the Wii U and Mario in the future.
Me too. So yeah, I think we can move into our listener feedback now, and we're not doing too much this week since first of all, we're recording way earlier than we normally do, and secondly, crud, I forgot what I was going to say. Secondly, need more coffee.
It's 2 p.m. on a Sunday. But to Jocelyn's defense, her brain runs on Pacific Standard Time, so.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I can't explain it. It just does.
Yeah, really, it's just that I need more caffeine. I have not had enough caffeine yet. That's all.
Didn't you make a pot of coffee?
Yeah, but the pot is all the way in the kitchen, and I have headphones that are not wireless, so I have not been able to refill my coffee cap again.
Oh, well. We're getting there.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead?
All right. What we have here is a Twitter response from Busy Zombie Lord in reference to episode 5. And I had tweeted that when I was editing it that this episode felt really crazy, and I hope it wasn't too over the top for people. But he said it was the funniest episode yet. So that's just goes to say that we need to fly off the handle a little more.
I listened to episode 5 when I was at work on, I guess, Friday, and it actually was pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know what came over us, but
I don't know,
having a good time.
We had a great time recording that one, so I think we should keep that going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we also got some Google Plus feedback about episode 5 from I Am French Boy, who's Gregory in France. And so we're not actually going to read it this week, but we're going to read it next week.
Been benched.
Yeah.
We can't tell you what you did, but you've been benched. I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm kidding.
He tweeted me this morning and told me that he recommended us for Get Glue. So we're hoping that maybe sometime soon you guys will actually be able to check in when you're listening to us and let us know. So that'll be a whole lot of fun, I think. Because it'd be interesting to see when people are actually listening to us. Don't you think, Ryan?
I think so. Then I could Get Glue my own show, and I think that would be awesome. But in all seriousness,
I am currently listening to myself. Check.
Yeah. But in terms of Gregory, or I am French boy, right? Is that right?
Yes.
He's been sending in us a lot of stuff, and he actually... Like I said, he was helping me with my speaker situation. I think he'd be a cool guest to have on the show, being not from Canada and being from La France.
I completely agree. I think
La France?
Just, what?
Is France masculine or feminine? I'm taking French lessons, and it's either le or la, or maybe we'll just say it's French. France.
Yeah, he's from France.
He's from
we
France.
We shouldn't try to speak French. That's bad.
Uh-oh. I'm not even close to bilingual, but I'm learning my verbs. Just
good
sweet.
For you. Maybe he can help you out with that too.
Maybe.
But yeah, so I think we're gonna shoot Gregory an email and see if he might want to join us on a future episode.
Exactly.
I think that's a phenomenal idea. So we did get some email from my friend Ron, and he says, "Hey guys, great show so far. Makes the time at work go by a bit quicker. One thing, though," he always has bad things to say. Such a mean guy. I'm kidding, Ron. "The podcast where you mentioned your most anticipated games of 2012, there was no mention of two of the biggest releases of 2012, which are Diablo 3 and Borderlands 2. I know Diablo 3 hasn't had an official release date yet, but it's still believed to come out in 2012. Other than that, keep going and keep up the good work," from Ron. So... Ryan, do you want to take this one?
Well, Diablo 3, saying that we would not be excited, even if we didn't mention it now, and Jocelyn said I did mention it in passing, basically because I played the earlier Diablos, but not to the extent that I could say I was a super fan. I like them, but Diablo 3 is a game made by Blizzard, so... It goes without saying that I'm excited to pick it up and try it. Like, no question, I'm looking forward to it. And it'll be probably PC Game of the Year if it comes out this year. It'd be hard to say anything against that statement because Blizzard makes phenomenal PC games. But in terms of Borderlands 2, Borderlands 1 was kind of this weird game for me in the sense that in Canada, when it came out, it was discounted to $40 on launch. As a promotion for Walmart, and I picked it up, obviously. $40 new game, can't go wrong. Played a bit of it, enjoyed what I did play, but kind of fell out of that game, and it was really cool. And I don't know. I am kind of excited for Borderlands 2, but I have so much more content in Borderlands 1 that I could be playing, and the game just looks super similar to Borderlands 1. So, you know, I don't know a lot about it, but from what I've seen, it looks very similar to the first one. And I need to kind of go back to the first one, and I have all the DLC on Steam and whatnot, so I really should play that game.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, like, I haven't played Diablo 1, Diablo 2, or Borderlands 1, so we kind of, our podcast is more geared towards what we're playing, what we're anticipating, what we are doing, and our opinions around that. And, I mean, yes, they may be biggest, like, big releases coming and stuff, but if neither Ryan or I are very excited about it, then we're not really going to talk about it that much. Because we're not news, we're not industry insiders or anything like that. So, I mean, like, yeah, there's probably a lot of people that are really anticipating it. And if any of our listeners are totally anticipating this game and or these games and want to express that on our show, like, totally email us and, you know, give us what for and tell us what you're looking forward to. And we will definitely read it on the show. But in terms of our show in general, if we're not excited, we're not going to mention it.
Yeah, and that being said, like, even when there's a game that one of us is playing hardcore, the discussion doesn't carry on as long as compared to if we're both excited about it. But Jocelyn, I'll ask, like, Diablo 3, Blizzard PC game, you're excited by default, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. And I'll probably pick it up and, you know, like, I'm probably not on launch or anything like that because I depends when it launches as to what else I have going on. But, yeah, I'll definitely play it. I'm just not that excited.
Yeah.
Not over the top, like, every day checking the news to see when it's going to be released. Like, it'll come out. I'll play it. I'm sure it'll be fun. It might be my next Skyrim. Like, who knows?
It's no Mass Effect 3 for
exactly.
us in terms of excitement.
In terms of excitement, definitely. Nailed it.
Yep.
So, yeah, you guys can email the show like Ron did at info@gamersinpodcast.com or visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. We also have pages on both Facebook and Google+, so if you prefer those platforms, you can find us on there as well.
Ooh,
so,
I got something to say about Facebook.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, well, we mentioned that we have a Facebook page, and the way Facebook works to have a nice, clean URL is you need 25 likes. So, if we could have maybe 6 more people go and like that at a minimum, that'd be really cool. And then we could have facebook.com/thegamersin before that other Gamers Inn gets it.
Yeah. Or we could be /gamersinpodcast because we'll have to see. I keep getting confused which one isn't.
I don't know. But I just thought I'd mention that. People who follow us on Twitter, give us a like on Facebook. I know it would be cluttering up 2 of your social media accounts, but it should be mentioned that Jocelyn, who is managing the social media content, does post unique content to every page. It's not just a copy and paste.
I try my best not to copy and paste, and I don't also on the Facebook page, I don't post that often. Usually it's just when we have a new episode go up that I make a post for Facebook, so I really, really try not to clutter people's feeds. So, I mean, if I'm not posting enough, feel free to let me know, because I can post more. But yeah, I think everybody kind of knew that I was the one doing the social media because I put smileys in a lot of my posts.
Yeah, I don't smile ever.
You barely even laugh. It's like pulling teeth.
Yep. Actually, I do laugh when I go to the dentist and they pull my teeth. That's the only time I laugh.
What are the chances?
Yeah. Just a weird little side note.
Quirk. So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out again and thank you to my brother Greg, who created our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars. So you can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic, which is new every Monday, at www.starcrossedonline.com. So thank you very much for staying at the Gamers Inn, and tune in next week when we're going to be talking about We have no idea.
I think at this point, because we're starting to go weekly, it's going to be tough. Unless we have something pre-planned, we probably won't mention what we're talking about. Unless we know. And yeah. At this point, we don't really know.
No, it's going to be, we're in almost 2 weeks away from recording our next episode. So I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
It'll be a normal episode in the sense that it will be structured in the way our previous episodes are and not just, you know, we're going to talk about Mario.
Well, yeah, this is our special surprise theme episode. So, we're going to go back to our regularly scheduled normal format next week.
We will do more of these. And if you like this format, you should send in some feedback, or if there's something you'd want us to treat in this format. Like we've already said, we're going to do a Mass Effect podcast in this sort of setup before Mass Effect 3 comes out at the start of March. And we had talked about doing a Zelda one as well. But if you guys want to hear us talk about something specific or even suggest something and want to send in suggestions and content for a part of the episode,
If you guys have stories or like nostalgic kind of things about old games that you played, and you know, whether it's Mass Effect or Zelda or whatever, we will, if you want to send them in, we will save them and read them in the episodes that we do. So we would love that. More and community involvement, we are totally on board with.
We'll figure out when we're going to record the Mass Effect episode, and we'll actually start pimping that out on the show, so you guys have a couple weeks to get your stuff in.
Yes.
I guess we should wrap up. That's longest our conclusion's ever been. But I have a little pet peeve that I thought I'd bring up at the end of this episode, since it's sort of related. It's been happening a lot more lately, and I just want to say that for all those who keep coming up to the bar and saying, "It's a me, Mario," you know, that doesn't get you on Charles Martinet's tab. So just remember that. Good night. I'm recording now.
Well, you missed all those fabulous bloopers.
Not really.
Almost fail.
They were mainly just implicating me as a bad person. Now they'll never know.
Unless I tell them.
No one's going to believe you.
All right.
Are we ready?
Wonderful!
So.
Now I'm going to have to bleep it out.